Okay, so what did we discuss in our previous class?
About karma.
Krishna refuting Arjuna's arguments based on jnana first and then karma.
What is?
Jnana is higher than karma.
Yes. The arguments on the platform of jnana are certainly higher than the arguments placed at the level of karma. Anything else?
We saw the comparison between what is a battlefield for us and for Arjuna. For us, which is being the preaching, being the battlefield, and how we should be perfect. You know everything about the philosophy.
Anything else?
We discussed about Nishkama Karma Yoga, and it can act both on either on platform jnana or platform of bhakti. And it does not
so Nishkama Yoga can be tinged with jnana, or Nishkama Yoga can be tinged with karma. With bhakti. So when Nishkama Karma Yoga is tinged with jnana, then there is a propensity to go towards Brahmavadi philosophy. Whereas when Nishkama Karma Yoga is tinged with bhakti, then certainly a devotee starts associating with, the sadhaka starts associating with Vaishnavas. So that's what we saw. But a devotee who goes to the path of Jnana Marga need not necessarily end up being a Brahmavadi. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Sochati na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param. From the platform of Brahman, also a devotee can move, the sadhaka can move and come into bhakti. But the basic flaw of, not the flaw, the basic limitation of going through the Jnana Marga is it's a very slow process. So you are just taking a detour and then coming back to the same destination, which you can directly go through bhakti. And today we'll see certain aspects of bhakti, where bhakti is supreme over jnana. Today's class we'll see that. Anything else we discussed in the previous class?
We also discussed that anyone following Nishkam Karma, they may be attached to the activity. So that is also...
Nishkam Karma, one may not be attached to the results, but one can still be attached to the activity. And today again we'll see some aspects of it. Anything else?
The reason why Lord Krishna is explaining jnana and jnana first and karma later on, whereas karma is inferior than jnana, is because it's in the order of the questions which are asked by Arjuna.
Very good.
That's why it's being left.
Anything else?
We also discussed two types of swadharmas. One is material and the other one is spiritual. In that context, also discussed that chanting is the process as well as the goal. And first step in bhakti is to accept spiritual master.
So chanting is called as the nitya dharma. So if any of you get some extra time, you can read a book called Jaiva Dharma. Jaiva Dharma is a treatise by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he talks about Nitya Dharma and Naimihitika Dharma. So essentially the Nitya Dharma, or the eternal constitutional activity of any jiva, is chanting the holy names of the Lord. So in that sense, chanting is both the process as well as the goal. So chanting leads to chanting. Alright. So let's go to text 39. 38 was where we ended last class, right?
Yep.
Today we'll go from 39 to 53. So since there are quite a few verses, so we'll move a bit at a brisk pace. So request everyone to please maintain your concentration level for the next 1 hour, 40 minutes or whatever. Okay. Thus far, I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, When you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. Hiranprabhu, you can tell.
According to the Nirukti or the Vedic dictionary, Sankhya means that which describes things in detail. And Sankhya refers to that philosophy which describes the real nature of the soul. And yoga involves controlling the senses. Arjuna's proposal not to fight was based on sense gratification. Forgetting his prime duty, he wanted to cease fighting because he thought that by not killing his relatives and kinsmen, he would be happier than by enjoying the kingdom after conquering his cousins and brothers, the sons of Dhritarashtra. In both ways, the basic principles were for sense gratification. Happiness derived from conquering them and happiness derived by seeing kinsmen alive are both on the basis of personal sense gratification. Even at a sacrifice of wisdom and duty. Krishna therefore wanted to explain to Arjuna that by killing the body of his grandfather, he would not be killing the soul proper. And he explained that that all individual persons, including the Lord himself, are eternal individuals. They were individuals in the past, they are individuals in the present, and they will continue to remain individuals in the future. Because all of us are individual souls eternally. We simply change our bodily dress in different manners. But actually, we keep our individuality even after liberation from the bondage of material dress. An analytical study of the soul and the body has been very graphically explained by Lord Krishna. And this descriptive knowledge of the soul and the body from different angles of vision has been described here as Sankhya in terms of the Nirukti dictionary. This Sankhya has nothing to do with the Sankhya philosophy of the atheist Kapil. Long before the impostor Kapil's Sankhya, the Sankhya philosophy was expounded in Srimad Bhagavatam by the true Lord Kapil, the incarnation of Lord Krishna, who explained it to his mother Devodhi. It is clearly explained by him that the Purusha or the Supreme Lord is active and that he creates by looking over the Prakriti. This is accepted in Vedas and in the Gita. The description in the Vedas indicates that the Lord glanced over the Prakriti or nature and impregnated it with atomic individual souls. All these individuals are working in the material world for sense gratification. And under the spell of material energy, they are thinking of being enjoyers. This mentality is dragged to the last point of liberation when the living entity wants to become one with the Lord. This is the last snare of Maya or sense gratificatory illusion. And it is only after many, many births of such sense gratificatory activities that a great soul surrenders unto Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, thereby fulfilling the search after the ultimate truth. Arjuna has already accepted Krishna as his spiritual master by surrendering himself unto him. Shishyasme aham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Consequently, Krishna will now tell him about the working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. Or in other words, the practice of devotional service only for the sense gratification of the Lord. This Buddhi Yoga is clearly explained in chapter 10, verse 10, as being direct communion with the Lord, who is sitting as Paramatma in everyone's heart. But such communion does not take place without devotional service. One who is therefore situated in devotional or transcendental loving service to the Lord, or in other words, in Krishna consciousness, attains to the stage of Buddhi Yoga by the special grace of the Lord. The Lord says, therefore, that only to those who are always engaged in devotional service, out of transcendental love, does He award the pure knowledge of devotion in love. In that way, the devotee can reach Him easily in the ever blissful kingdom of God. Thus, the Buddha.
Thus, the Buddhi Yoga mentioned in this verse is the devotional service of the Lord. And the word Sankhya mentioned here has nothing to do with the atheistic Sankhya Yoga enunciated by the imposter Kapila. One should not therefore misunderstand that the Sankhya Yoga mentioned herein has any connection with the atheistic Sankhya, nor did that philosophy has any influence during that time Nor would Lord Krishna care to mention such godless philosophical speculations. Real Sankhya philosophy is described by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But even that Sankhya has nothing to do with the current topics. Here Sankhya means analytical description of the body and the soul. Lord Krishna made an analytical description of the soul just to bring Arjuna to the point of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Lord Krishna's Sankhya Yoga and Lord Kapila's Sankhya, as described in Bhagavatam, are one and the same. They are all Bhakti Yoga. Lord Krishna said, therefore, that only the less intelligent class of men make a distinction between Sankhya Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Of course, atheistic Sankhya Yoga has nothing to do with Bhakti Yoga. Yet the unintelligent claim that the atheistic Sankhya Yoga is referred to in the Bhagavad Gita.
But
one should therefore understand that Bhakti Yoga means to work in Krishna consciousness in the full bliss and knowledge of devotional service. One who works for the satisfaction of the Lord only. However difficult such work may be, he is working under the principles of Bhakti Yoga and finds himself always in transcendental bliss. By such transcendental engagement, one achieves all transcendental understanding automatically by the grace of the Lord, and thus his liberation is complete in itself, without his making extraneous endeavors to acquire knowledge. There is much difference between work in Krishna consciousness and work for fruitive results, especially in the matter of sense gratification for achieving results in terms of family or material happiness. Bhakti Yoga, therefore, the transcendental quality of the work that we perform.
What are the points here?
Special loving service is the final thing which is required.
And one who serves Krishna will automatically gain all knowledge without much endeavor. Once we surrender and serve.
This is one of the important points.
Another beautiful point here. Lord says, therefore, that only to those who are always engaged in devotional service out of transcendental love does he award the pure knowledge of devotion and love. And also, in that way, a devotee can reach him easily in the other blissful kingdom.
Any other
things? Krishna wants to explain that he is not killing the body, he is not killing the soul, but he is killing the body of the grandfather. That's what he wants to explain to Arjuna.
Yes. Prabhupada also talks about imposter Kapila against both Krishna and Kanyaras, and the philosophy that goes on.
One of the points which actually comes out also is that Arjuna not wanting to fight is also based on sense gratification. Which is very interesting, because I mean sometimes you think otherwise.
Yeah. Good point. Anything else?
Here to search Sankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are the same.
Yes.
Maybe
we can elaborate on this. Okay. So, we saw a transition from jnana to karma. Now slowly, that is now coming into the realm of bhakti. Jnana to karma to bhakti. We'll see the transition now. So we saw Nishkam Karma Yoga with a tinge of Nishkam Karma Yoga with a tinge of jnana. We saw Nishkam Karma Yoga with a tinge of bhakti. We saw that. So the main point that is coming across here, as Sachin Prabhu pointed out, is that jnana is included within the realm of bhakti. Essentially, the Lord wants to drive that point. This verse. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, there is a verse which says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnana Chaya Ahetukam. Which means that along with Bhakti, Jnana as well as Vairagya, both Jnanam and Vairagyam, knowledge as well as renunciation, they are just byproducts of bhakti. So one need not endeavor extraneously for that. There is no need of separate endeavor to develop that jnana. Now the reason being that Srila Prabhupada, if all of you remember the basic books of Srila Prabhupada, Science of Self-Realization, Prabhupada writes that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on our mind or intelligence, right? The nature of the soul is Sachidananda. So knowledge is anyway there inside us. It has just to be revealed, that's all. So there is no external cultivation that is required. Now by the process of bhakti, as anartha nivritti happens, as the cleaning process happens, that jnana automatically manifests in a devotee. The Lord also mentions in the 10th chapter as a part of the Chatur Shloki that He says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti. There is a Buddhi Yoga link which is coming in that chapter as well, where He says that automatically I will guide my devotee as to how to come to me. So he need not go through all the Sanskrit literature, study Sanskrit for 12 years, right? And then, you know, study the four Vedas, then graduate on to the Upanishads, then further read the Puranas after that, right? Or the Vedanta Sutra, and then coming on to Srimad Bhagavatam. One need not go through that slow process. Directly one can take the essence of all the Puranas, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, Amala Purana, or Paramahamsa Samhita. And directly one can get that intelligence from within. Lord Krishna Himself will drive that intelligence within us. So that is a key point that is coming across. And that's where the Bhakti Yoga is supreme. Everything else will automatically happen. All other yoga, you have to, there is a endeavor, extraneous endeavor that is required, but not in Bhakti Yoga. So the Lord also talks about the real Kapila and the imposter Kapila. So He is talking about Sankhya Yoga. Now, this chapter comes in Lord Kapila's teachings to Devahuti, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is an entire section detailed on Sankhya Yoga. So, Lord Kapila is explaining to his mother Devahuti the entire process of creation. Everything is explained in great detail. The metaphysics of creation is explained. Sankhya Yoga is a study of matter versus spirit. Most of us think that we are the body, and that is the basic problem. Arjuna was also lamenting on the bodily platform. So the essence of second chapter, if you see, is to keep hammering at Arjuna that you are not the body. That's the whole essence of the second chapter. Most of us do not consider bhakti relevant in our lives because we think we are the body. Because we think we are the body, we have a finite conception of existence. We think that existence does not last beyond the existence of this body. After that, anyway, there is nothing. So, you know, if you talk to people, people will say, anyway, kabhi na kabhi to marne wale hain, to ash karenge. Right? People will say that, you know, let me enjoy. You know, anyway, death is going to come. Jab tak zinda hai, tab tak, till we are alive, we'll enjoy. Right? So they have a very finite conception. So therefore, until and unless a devotee comes to the point of understanding that he is not the body and his existence is eternal beyond the realm of this death. Death simply means changing, the soul changing one body and going into another body. So, till the time a devotee does not really understand the difference between matter and spirit, nothing else which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita from here on will make any sense. So that point is continuously being hammered here. So Lord Krishna is alluding to that Sankhya Yoga which Lord Kapila spoke to Devahuti. Lord Kapila himself was an incarnation of the Lord. So Lord Kapila is, in that Srimad Bhagavatam chapter, he is explaining matter, the origin of matter, the genesis of matter in great detail. Now, Prabhupada also writes here, however, this Sankhya Yoga is not exactly that, the mood here is not exactly the mood there. The mood there was very different. Nicely, his mother is sitting in front of him. His mother is inquiring, please tell me difference between matter and spirit. There is a lot of time there to go into the genesis of matter. And there is a quite a bit of 70-80% is about matter. And then he comes to the final conclusion of spirit in the last 20% in the discussion. In that whole samvad between Devahuti and Lord Kapila. Here, there is no time. Here we are sitting in a battlefield, Kurukshetra. We have to begin the war now. Right? So there is not much time. So straight away, Lord Krishna is driving the point of bhakti to Arjuna. He is immediately, you know, he is saying, okay, keep jnana aside, keep karma aside, let's talk about now the essence. And therefore he is saying, yes, I am talking to you about Sankhya Yoga, but I am not going to talk exactly everything that Lord Kapila has spoken there. So give Arjuna the essence. Now, still, we devotees have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada said, one must study the Sankhya Yoga chapter also very meticulously before coming to the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? The analytical study between matter and spirit is very essential for all of us, because unfortunately we have a very logical mind. Unfortunately, we come from a scientific mindset. Unfortunately. You may say, why unfortunate? You're very fortunate. But unfortunately, science has complicated us. We try to take the model of the scientific model and apply it, the material scientific model, and apply it to a transcendental science. And there is no fitment there. Right? So therefore, for people like us who have a penchant to understand things in that way, Sankhya Yoga study is extremely important. So he says, okay, for all of you who really want to know what is the God particle, so please read Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga will actually tell you about the original God particle. Whatever scientists are talking about is nonsense right now. Actually, they don't mean God particle. They have found out something. Some joker said that it is called, we'll call it a God particle. And everyone is talking about God particle. But obviously, that particle is not the, doesn't represent God. It has got nothing to do with God. Right? So, the original, the genesis of material creation is explained in that Sankhya Yoga, step by step. Now, why Srila Prabhupada is asking us to study how matter is evolving in the material world, and the difference between matter and spirit, why Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing us to study that in great amount of detail, is for us to develop detachment from matter. The study of matter is required for detachment from matter. It's only when we actually study the difference between matter and spirit, will we actually get, will the knot that binds us to our body, that will get cut. So in that section, it says, the purpose of studying Sankhya philosophy is Hridaya Granthi Abhedanam. Hridaya Granthi Abhedanam means cutting the knot of material desires within the heart. So that is the goal of Sankhya Yoga. Now Lord Krishna is not going to explain the entire Sankhya Yoga in great detail. So he is coming directly to the essence of this verse. So there, of course, now you may say, what are the details that are given? If you want to know, you can read that chapter. But essentially it's all about how Mahavishnu is breathing and how universes are coming out from the pores of his body, and then how Mahavishnu is glancing the power of Ramadevi, and the glance, which is the personification of Rudra. Now that is creating, impregnating that material universe. It is agitating the Pradhan, which then becomes Mahatattva. All those things, technicalities are all there in Sankhya Yoga. In the battlefield, there is no time for mentioning all that. You can't go to the Pradhan and Mahatattva level right now, because there is an emergency here. There is a decision that needs to be taken, right? Sometimes at work also, we can't explain all the logic to the team. We can say, excuse me, there is an emergency now. Anil, when we have a save two incident at office, how do we handle? There is no time for meetings. Quickly, somebody has to take a decision and then keep moving. So here there is a save two incident.
It's the action which is more important than the logic.
Yeah, exactly. It is action. At that time, action is needed. Not logic. Very, very correct. So Lord Krishna is telling him, now let's start acting. And he is giving him that philosophy by which he needs to act soon. Now, there is another dimension also, which Lord Krishna is trying to explain to Arjuna. He is saying that, fine, you can talk about renunciation, you can talk about activities, we can talk about Varanashrama Dharma, duties. Thus far, so much of that theme has come in these sections so far. So Lord is also trying to explain to Arjuna that at the end of the day, if after hearing all this, in fact he is explaining the other way, he is saying after having heard all this, please understand my dear Arjuna, that ultimately one should work for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. He is coming to that point, slowly he is driving that point. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also driving that point, especially in the third canto, please note down, in the third canto, you can read that offline, third canto, 23rd chapter, 56th verse, 3.23.56, there is an interesting verse which says, na iha yat karma dharmaya, na viragaya kalpate, na tirta pada sevaya, jivanapi mruto hisaha. Neha yat karma dharmaya, means what? So you may do a lot of activities, but that activities, whatever we do, must lead to religion. That activities must lead to religion. Na iha yat karma dharmaya, na viragaya kalpate. That religion must lead to renunciation and detachment. And then he says, na tirtha pada sevaya jivan api mruto hisaha. That detachment must, or renunciation must lead to bhakti. Tirtha pada sevaya. Seva. That knowledge, that activity, knowledge, religion, renunciation, everything must ultimately lead to service. Service to the devotees of the Lord or to the Lord himself. Otherwise, jivanapi mruto hi sa. Then if a person doesn't come up to that platform, then though he is living, he is considered to be a dead man. So, once Srila Prabhupada was, I think he was in Melbourne, yeah. And I think Prabhupada was watching, you know, Monday morning will come now. When you sit in the tram, you are watching people running from this signal to that signal, especially in Collins Street. You know, people running from that side to this side. So, Srila Prabhupada was watching. And then he had, he had almost tears in his eyes, watching all these people in suits running with a bag here and there. So, someone asked, Prabhupada, what are you watching? Srila Prabhupada said, simply dead bodies flapping. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. Simply dead bodies flapping. Everyone is already dead. Jivan api mruto is, because the activities are not leading to any transcendental knowledge at all. The activities are simply oriented towards getting salary at the end of the month. Or for some people, there may be some increment. That's all. At best. Oh, well done. Nowadays, that increment also company is not giving. They are saying, no, you have done very well, but company has not done very well. So, no increment. And then they threaten you, saying that recession is there. So, everyone thinks that, oh, if I have my job, that itself is a big thing. Forget about increment. So, that is also there. So, we are actually working just to retain our jobs in one sense. So, there is no point in such work. Such work should be done in order to do our duty, which is to keep our body and soul together. But at the end of the day, outside of such job, one must cultivate, that is the message that is given here. One must use that service, preferably the fruits of that service we can deploy in the service of Krishna and his devotees. And then when we come out on such Saturdays and Sundays at least, when we get time, and in the evenings after coming back from work, then we have to engage ourselves in the original goal of life. Going to office is a necessary evil in one sense, you see. In another sense, it is also good, because without that, then we will not be able to maintain our Krishna consciousness. If the grihasthas don't contribute to the temple, then how will the brahmacharis be maintained? So in that sense, if we see our jobs, then actually our job is also bhakti yoga. But one should not get too attached to a job, or one should not think that I am the doer, I am the controller. Because of me, everything is happening over here. And that point will come now, very gradually. So, Krishna, Lord is driving so many fundamental points about bhakti, for us to understand bhakti in the right perspective. So, the Lord is encouraging Arjuna to work with detachment from the results of work, under the influence of knowledge. Work with detachment under the influence of knowledge. Okay. So these are the points that are coming up. Any other thoughts? Anyone wants to add anything?
Oh, question to go. Yeah. So you said the bhakti, by doing performing bhakti, your knowledge will be automatically revealed. So how does it happen? You mean you will be having the impetus to go through scriptures, or internally you will?
You will develop a taste for scriptures. Now how that happens is mentioned in the pastime of Narad Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narad Muni, he was serving the sages during the Chaturmasya. They used to visit, and Narad Muni was a simpleton. He wasn't Narad Muni in that lifetime. In the next lifetime, he becomes Narad Muni. So all he is doing is that he is serving the Vaishnavas who have come to his house along with his mother, and then they leave remnants, and then Narad Muni is taking those remnants. So he is doing devotional service, but by taking those remnants and by serving them, then he starts sitting and hearing what they are talking, and that's how he gets the knowledge. So there is a beautiful verse which says, Shushrusho Saddha Dhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Teta Shevana. Which means that by rendering transcendental loving service to the devotees of the Lord and the Lord, one gets the affinity to hear the messages of the Lord. And when you get that affinity, affinity means attraction to hear more and more of Krishna Katha. So once one gets the affinity to hear Krishna Katha, automatically then that knowledge is coming to you from outside. So that knowledge keeps flowing. So that is how. Does it answer your question, Mahesh?
Just to add to that, one comes to the platform of bhakti only when one has already performed bhakti in this previous lifetime.
Very good point. And I was mentioning this in the... Prabhu, can you please close the door? Maybe you can request them to be a bit silent. Shivan Prabhu, it's too much of noise. It's very disturbing. Sorry, what was the question?
It was just adding a comment. One comes to bhakti when one has already performed bhakti in his previous lifetimes as well.
Yes.
So it could be a continuation or it could be a new beginning.
Yeah. So we were discussing it in our Mill Park program also this afternoon, that there is a verse which says, I think it's Devahuti again, who is telling Lord Kapila, how glorious are these devotees who are chanting your holy names. These people have, in their past lifetimes, have already perfected the Vedas. They have gone through all the Vedas, they have gone through all the ritualistic sacrifices, everything they have already done. So in this lifetime, they have now come to the point of chanting your holy name. So devotees who are chanting are not, anybody who is chanting is not an ordinary person. Already is an exception in this material world. In this material world, who is chanting? Nobody. No, if you give beads to someone and ask them to chant one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they will say time nahi. But they will have time to go for pub parties, then kitty parties, footy, 20-20. Moment anything like that comes, everyone is okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm coming. Sure, everyone has time. Or for movies, Hollywood movies, Tollywood movies, Bollywood movies, everyone has time. There's no need to tell everyone, can you please find some 3 hours to watch the latest Salman Khan movie? Oh, no problem, sure, why not? Why not? I have some work, but I'll take care of that, no problem. I'll sit late and finish it, but let me watch that movie. Can you please chant one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra? It takes 6 minutes of a day. No, I don't have time actually, very busy. Work days, you know how it is, 5 days in office, very killing. And then 2 days only, 1 day out of that, we have to do all housework. Very difficult. Not possible. That is the problem. So, if this is human society, then what about those devotees who are chanting one round at least? They are glorious. And what about those who are chanting 16 rounds? Glorious. So, in this Kali Yuga, anyone who is chanting is glorious, and it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Devahuti is mentioning already that these people are so glorious who are chanting the holy name of the Lord. Alright, let's go to 40.
No.
Yeah.
Do you have voice recording happening?
Yeah, it's happening.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I wouldn't know it. I'm guessing it's happening. I'm praying it's happening. Okay, so this is a very important verse, 40. It's a very famous verse. Neha Vikramanasosti Pratvayavad Vidyate Svalpa Mapyasa Dharmasya Trayate Mahatva Bhayat. In this endeavor, in which endeavor? In the process of bhakti, please hear carefully. Srila Prabhupada, Gurujan Prabhu has written that this is a very, very important verse for all devotees in ISKCON. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. There is no loss or diminution in this endeavor. And a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, Yashoda Priya Mataji.
Activity in Krishna consciousness or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification is the highest transcendental quality of wealth. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work...
Give them a little solid dose. Sorry, ma'am.
The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%, whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamila performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100%, by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam.
This is the English version.
One person. If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or, as the Christian said, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness.
Very beautiful Prabhupada, right? The Prabhupada. This is a very, very important verse. What are the points here?
Any work done in the devotional is everlasting. It won't perish, just like the material things. And even if one falls down, that's what it says, and you can start from the next life, and at least human life is guaranteed once you are devoted for the benefit of your father.
That's a very big, that's a unique selling proposition of bhakti. So the moment, yesterday I was speaking to one of my client side colleagues. We had gone out for, sometimes you go out for tea discussions, you know, there. And there's a very heated argument, and then so I had gone out with a client yesterday, and then this person is suffering in his life. His suffering has reached a peak, actually. This is Mahesh Prabhu. Yeah. So he is under real, you know, big problem in his with regard to his own personal health and in his family. He's going through a very severe problem. So we took him there, and then the point which, you know, we explained to him was that directly we came to the point of chanting, because his problem is so severe. I was telling him that, you know, don't ask me any philosophy right now, you just chant whatever I'm telling you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now why I had to chant, how does the chanting work, there was no time for him, fortunately. There was no time, because the problem was very severe. So that was a good opportunity to, you know, request him to start chanting, which he has agreed. So on Monday he will receive bead. Okay, Monday or Tuesday. Monday we are not there. Vedvyaspri Maharaj Vyaspri there. So Tuesday I intend to give him the bead. So he asked me, so I was also thinking, okay, I'm giving him, but something I have to tell him, why to chant. So there was nothing I could, I just told him that, you know, how many, if you divide the human population by the animal species, what is the probability of a human form of life? It is zero, near zero, because 7 billion divided by 8.4 into infinity, right? Because how many ants are there in Melbourne? How many dogs are there? How many mosquitoes are there? Forget about Melbourne, how many mosquitoes are there in India? So it's infinity, and we can get any of these, we can become any of these, the soul can enter any of these bodies. So what is the chance that you and I are sitting here in this restaurant? What is the probability? So that point was very useful. So therefore, bhakti can give you at least a human form of it. That was the point. And that point is good enough for most people. They said, oh, so I won't be born as a pig in the next lifetime. Right? Yeah, you won't be born as a pig in the next lifetime. You will at least get a human form of life. So that is a great, unique selling proposition of bhakti. Nobody wants to be born as his own dog. Today he is throwing the ball, tomorrow he will be running behind the ball. The master will throw. So there is no point. So moment, you know, you change the master-dog relationship, then people are scared. Everyone likes to own a dog, but nobody wants to be a dog. Isn't it? So therefore, this point has to be, you know, to a person who is new, this can be told to that person. So to any individual, when we are preaching, we have to really find out which pulse now, if you press, then that person will actually connect to Krishna consciousness. So to some people, this is a very important thing. When we tell them, at least you are guaranteed a human form of life. Like that. So that's a unique point. And here, as Prabhuji rightly said, yes, at least a human form of life is guaranteed in bhakti. Neha Vikramana Sosti. It will save you from the greatest danger. And what is the greatest danger for a human being? Falling down into the animal species is the greatest danger for us. Because then we'll need 8.4 million lifetimes to evolve back to wherever we are. So nobody wants to go through that process, right? That is called as Nitya Baddha, eternally. Nitya Baddha, eternally conditioned. So we don't want to go through that. Okay. Anything else?
Jagan, to add to your point that we need to catch the pulse, maybe we should have a little bit of knowledge that which guna is he having. That whether he belongs to sattva,
tama,
if we can catch that, then it's very easy to tell him at what level we need to start the discussion.
Very right, yeah. Like in a freeway, you know, when we enter the freeway, we have to match our speed with the speed of the cars, otherwise there will be collision, like that. So we have to match his wavelength. If he is a person who is too much involved in activity, all the time he wants to do activity, then immediately we can tell the person, please come, there is a lot of service in the temple. And the persons who are charged with activity, who are very active, they like to do service. A person who is having a lot of, you know, he is in the mode of goodness, so he likes a lot of philosophy and knowledge. So we can invite them, we can connect to that person on the platform of philosophy. A person who likes to eat, we can connect to that person. And we can, hey, come to the temple, nice place. Halwa is, oh, halwa, free. Yeah, okay, come, like that. So we can connect to people, you know, as Anil Prabhu pointed out very nicely, on their own wavelength. Yeah. Alright, so if you remember in the previous classes we had talked about many types of Shukriti. There is Jnanonmukhi Shukriti, there is Karmonmukhi Shukriti, there is Jnanonmukhi Shukriti, then there is Abhyata Shukriti, then there is Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti. Remember this? Everyone remember? So here, which is the Shukriti which is being talked about here? Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti is being talked about. Yes, Agyata Shukriti also will come. Yes, Agyata Shukriti is in one sense non-different from Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti. It's a slight subset of Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti. But here the Lord is saying, if you have done Bhakti in the last lifetime, then you will do Bhakti in this lifetime. And then if you have done, since you are doing Bhakti in this lifetime, you are sure to do Bhakti in the next lifetime. And you will pick up from where you have left. From that point you will pick up. So the Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti is coming here. And also the Lord is saying, certainly a person, a devotee, will be saved from fall down at any point in time. Even if bhakti is incomplete. If you see that verse here from Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a very nice verse. And Vedvyas Priya Maharaj, you know, very often quotes this verse. Tyaktva swa dharmam charanam mujam harer bhajan apakvo thapate tato yadi. Apakvo means what? जो पका नहीं है इट इज नॉट राइप इन हिंदी पका नहीं है मीन्स वॉट इट इज नॉट राइप सो भजन न पक्वो था पते ततो यदि सो ही सेज दैट इफ यूर भजन इन दिस लाइफ टाइम हैज नॉट रीच द राइपेंड स्टेज देन नो वरीज नेक्स्ट लाइफ टाइम यू कैन परफेक्ट बट ऑब्वियसली नोबडी वॉन्ट्स टू वैष्णव यूजुअली डोंट वॉन्ट टू वेट टिल next lifetime Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami he said this material world is not a place for a gentleman so better perfect yourself in this lifetime and go back to Godhead because this material world is rotting it's only going to get worse and worse in future iPads and what is that Microsoft Surface is not going to you know increase our happiness quotient in this life right Apple products are going to become cheaper and Apple is going to become expensive So that's the world is moving in a totally different direction. From an agrarian economy, we are moving somewhere else right now. And it is not going to give anyone any satisfaction. Government is only going to increase the taxes. It's not going to come down ever. No Masiha is going to come down. The only person who is going to come down is Kalki Avatar, that's all. Who will finish everything and as he goes on finishing, Satya Yoga will start. So no other Masiha is going to come in a horse. Right? All that happens only in movies. So, better to perfect ourselves in this lifetime. However, bhakti process is so powerful that even a little step can save us from the greatest danger. The biggest example of this is Ajamil. Ajamil. What did Ajamil do? Ajamil had a son, Narayana. Towards the end of his life, he was a Brahmana. Right? And he was doing some Karmonmukhi processes he was doing. But Karmonmukhi will never lead to bhakti. We have already discussed that, right? Janma koti shukriti na labhyate. Right? You do thousands of pious activities in karma kand, automatically it will never lead to bhakti. This is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in Madhurya Kadambini. It will never lead to. So he was doing some brahmana, some karma kanda, everything he was doing. So nice guy. But what happened was, he developed some jnana also in the process. But when he went to the forest one day to collect some flowers for his father, then he saw that, you know, he saw two people engaged, you know, in illicit activity. He saw a man embracing a prostitute. When he saw that, his senses were agitated. And he tried to tell himself, no, my jnana tells me I should not see there, I should not look, I should continue going. But then inadvertently what happened? Because bhakti was not there, that jnana didn't give him the power to look the other way. You know, he did like this, but he looked like this, in that sense. And then he ended up watching that. When he watched that, his mind got agitated. And then what happened? He went and married that prostitute and he gave up his wife. And after marrying the prostitute, his life was hell. He did all kinds of hellish activities, right? And towards the end, what happened? Who came to pick him when he was... The Yamadutas came to... Come on, let's go. Time up now. Time to go to the hellish planets. But what happened? He had a son called Narayana. And inadvertently, what happened? He just called out to his son, Narayana! He called out like that.
Yeah, and what happened? Just asking something like, Narayana, can we bring you water, can we bring you food? Yeah. Yes, he was chanting that holy name. Yeah. So that name itself was more powerful that it was saving him from all the evil spirits.
Correct. So, inadvertently he chanted Narayana. And the moment he chanted Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas appeared. Why did they appear? Because? Abhinnatvam Namanamino. The holy name is non-different than the personality of Godhead, right? Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatvam Nama Namina. So immediately the Vishnu Dutas appeared there. They told the Yama Dutas, hang on, where are you going now? Kaha le ja rahe usko? Stop. Right? He's supposed to be with us. And the Yama Dutas saying, don't you know he has performed sinful activities? But the Vishnu Dutas are telling him, but he chanted the name of Narayana. And then the Vishnu Dutas go back. Yes, Madhuri?
I need some clarification here. Supreme Lord is Bhava Grahi. The Ajamila is calling his son. He's not calling him. How the Vishnu Dutas came to take him?
Yeah, that's why I said Abhinnatvam Nama Namina. The higher principle is that the Lord and the holy name are non-different from one another. So this is called as, there are three stages of chanting. Nam Aparad, Nam Abhash and Shuddha Nam. So this is the stage of Nam Abhash. I think I discussed it in the Milpa class. I don't know whether you missed it, I think. So this is called as Nama Abhash, Chaya Nama Abhash. So there are three stages of chanting. So Ajamila chanted not Shuddha Nam. He didn't chant. You're right in your saying that he did not call out to Lord Narayana out of love. Oh Narayana, he didn't call out to the Lord. He inadvertently uttered the name. Now that is very important. But he still uttered the name. And when you utter the name is not different. That is absolute truth. So then the Vishnu Dutas came. Right? There is one sentence which Prabhupada writes, which is very important there. That the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas appeared because Ajamila did not chant to counter his sins. Please understand this point very carefully. Ajamila accepted that he did not call out to Lord Narayana out of love for Lord Narayana, but he did not chant to counter his sinful activities. He didn't get scared. Oh, Vishnu Dutas have come. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. May all my sins be burnt, my dear Lord. No, he didn't do that. He didn't try to use the holy name to counter his sins. Because using the holy name to counter one's sins is an offense against the holy name. No, there are many 10 offenses to the holy name. Namnat balad yasya hi tapabuddhi. To commit sinful activities under the strength of the
holy name.
And to use the holy name to counter sinful activities. He did not do that. Srila Prabhupada writes that point. And that's why the Vishnu Dutas came. But because he did not chant the name of Narayana in the Shuddha Naam, he did not go to Vaikuntha. Please understand this. He did not go to Vaikuntha. Ajamila was not taken by the Vishnu Dutas. What happened was, they just came to ensure that the Yamadutas don't take him. That's all. And then what happened? As soon as Ajamila went to thank the Vishnu Dutas disappeared from there. And Prabhupada writes a nice purport there. He says that devotees don't like to be glorified. So therefore, he knew that, Ajamila knew that, you know, Vishnu Dutas will be glorified. So Vishnu Dutas did not want to hear glorification. So they left the place. The other reason that they left was that Ajamila will hanker throughout his life to see those Vishnu Dutas again. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he saw in the womb Lord Krishna, and throughout his life he was Parikshit, he was examining who is Lord Krishna now. Right? So like that, to increase the desire for a devotee, hankering. Then Ajamila got a second chance. Srila Prabhupada has written a book also called as the Second Chance. So he gets a second chance. That's what this verse is. Neha Vikramanas. There is no loss or diminution. You will get another chance. So in the same lifetime then, he left his family, he left all his sinful activities, he went to Haridwar and he took association of devotees there, and then the golden chariot came and took Ajamila to the spiritual world. So it's a two-step process. But Ajamila did not, because he uttered once the name of Narayana in Naam Abhash, that is the power. And then, what to speak of those devotees who are actually chanting Hare Krishna every day. So therefore, none of us in this room needs to be afraid at least of going to the hellish planets. And also, why do we wear this? Yeah, this Tulsi Mala means, this means Yamadutas will never touch. If anybody is wearing Tulsi Mala, Yamadutas don't come near that person. Like that. Okay. So the other pastime is also Maharaj Bharat. Bharat, Jada Bharat. You know that pastime? Yeah. So Maharaj Bharat, what happened? He got attached to a deer towards the end. And he was on Bhava platform. At least Ajamila was nowhere near Bhava platform. He was in a very neophyte stage. But Bharat Maharaj was in the Bhava platform, which is the second last stage of bhakti. And from that platform, what happened? He got attached to the deer and he ignored his bhajan. Because of which, what happened? In the next lifetime, when he left his body, he was searching for the deer. In his next lifetime, he had to take the birth of a deer. But even though he took the birth of a deer, Krishna was telling him, he knew his past lifetime. So he went and as a deer, he went and associated with the devotees. And in the next lifetime, the same deer got birth as Jada Bharat, who went back to the spiritual world. Not only did he go back, he delivered Maharaj Raghuguna also, along with that, and so many other devotees. So therefore, Neha Vikramanas. There is no loss or diminution in bhakti. The Lord will definitely end. Once a person starts chanting the name of Krishna, then Krishna will definitely ensure that unke charan ke niche hi aake phir pahunchegi gaadi, rukegi gaadi. The train will only stop at his lotus feet. It will not halt anywhere else. If a devotee goes little bit here and there, Krishna can nicely give slaps and say that, excuse me, you know what is the goal of life? Please continue in this path. Srila Prabhupada said, I curse my disciples that they will not be able to enjoy material life. So none of us, if you see in our life, none of us will really be able to enjoy too much of material life, right? Whether it is at workplace or whether anywhere else. Because the Lord wants us to cultivate detachment from all these things. He wants us to cultivate detachment from wealth, power, position, respect, prestige. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami said that the prestige of this material world is like the stool of a hog. You know what a hog eats, right? A pig eats what? stool. And then when the pig passes stool, then how obnoxious that is. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that the prestige of this material world is like the stool of a hog. So that is, so devotees don't hanker for prestige. All that devotee is interested in Swarga Apavarga Narakeshwa Apitulyata Darshan. Whether you are in hellish planet, whether you are in heavenly planet, or whether you are on earthly planet, a devotee is indifferent. For his only goal is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Let's go to 41. We'll go a bit faster. So text number 41. This is another very, very important verse. Okay. But of course, in the interest of time, we'll not read. I presume that all of you are reading, keeping up with your reading in this course. Please remember Kup Fate Mars. What is our responsibility for learning? It's on you as much as the person who is sitting in front of you is only a facilitator, not a teacher. So please remember that and please read before you come to the class so that then you can be quicker on the uptake. Yes, Madhavananda.
Do we have any key memory verses for the course? Because out of some of the previous...
I'll give you next week. Those who are... So this is a very... this is itself a key memory verse. It's going to come, but I don't... Did you ask specifically for this? Yes, it is.
This previous one probably was.
Yeah, previous and this all are key memory verses. Vyavasatmika buddhi rekeha guru nandana. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. And let's spend some 15 minutes on this verse. This is a very, very important verse. And we will share with you some of the experiences from our own lives which we have seen. Some of which I was sharing with you all during the lunchtime the other day. So, pardon some repetition. So, Gurujan Prabhu has mentioned that this is also a very significant verse for ISKCON devotees. So, in fact, Srila Prabhupada said that this was the verse which fixed him up in his service to his spiritual master, to go to the West and preach. So, you can imagine, this is the verse which sent Srila Prabhupada to the West. So, how important this verse is for all of us. To be resolute in our bhakti, determined in our bhakti. So, the central theme of this verse is essentially to make the instructions of our guru or our spiritual master as our life and soul. So, that is the essence of this verse. And never ever deviate from that. From the instructions of guru, sadhu and shastra. Not to deviate from that. And for that, we need immense faith in the instruction of guru and Krishna. Why do we deviate?
Because
we don't have faith. Simple. Why will we deviate? Suppose I tell you, can you buy this lottery ticket? You have a chance of winning $1 million. You will say, oh, chance of winning. Oh, no, I don't need lottery ticket. Thank you. Please take this $1 million. It's a genuine currency note. You can deposit in the bank and you will be credited with $1 million. Because there is it's a promissory note at the end of the day, isn't it? In the rupee, you know, you have seen that, no? I promised the bearer of this to be, you know, holder of 1 rupee, like that. So that is something very certain for you. You will believe it. Right. So nothing with chance. The moment we say chance, then there is that lack of faith. So we have to have that firm conviction. Now, there are two types of faith which are mentioned. One is called as the spontaneous faith in a devotee, and which is called as swabhavika. Swabhavika means spontaneous faith. Some devotees, you don't really need to preach too much in Krishna consciousness. Like the gentleman who has just left the room, he was here. You saw him. He is my office colleague, Anil Kumar. So this person has faith. We haven't really preached to him so much. There was something little bit Rasik Chandra Prabhu is telling him at workplace. But he said that no. He said that I want to do some service. We can see some faith within that person's heart. It's there. Whereas to the others, we have to sit and explain. Please, you are not the body, you are the soul. There is somebody, do you think there is somebody that could be God? Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, now sit. But to this person, we don't have to do all that. He directly came and said, thank you very much, Jagan, Raj. You all are doing some activities. You know, I also want to do some service in the temple. And the conversation itself started from there. So that is called as Svabhavika. And in some faith is there. That means there is some past lifetime. Somebody has done some Shukriti. And then there is that faith which is aroused by powerful preaching. You have to really bulldoze somebody. They, you know, please come for the Bhakti Vriksha. Okay, I will come. And then if they don't come, call them up. Where are you? Okay, I will come. Like that. Some people will say, bahut pressurize karte hai ye log. ISKCON. But it's okay. ISKCON only pressurize karenge. Why? Because your mother mind otherwise will go to 2020. Right. So therefore we are putting pressure. ISKCON people are brainwashing. Yes. Srila Prabhupada said because the brain needs to be washed. When the ads are brainwashing, nobody complains. A hosiery advertisement, banyan and underwear. That fellow is, you know, standing like that and punching some, you know, man here and he's embracing a woman here. People see that nonsense advertisement. What has it got to do with, you know, whatever we are wearing? But people say, alright, first class ad, I'll also buy VIP bonus. No, this is the problem. This is sorry, Adrian Prabhu, this is an Indian advertisement. You may not be able to correct it. So, crazy. People are crazy. They can't connect something which they see there to the product. It has got nothing to do with it. Right? But still people will go and buy. Thinking that I will also be hero. Isn't it? So, we don't mind being brainwashed with that. But when moment you say chanting Krishna, oh, you're brainwashing. Like that. So, Prabhupada said the brain needs to be washed. So, faith can come because of Svabhavika. Or faith can come because of forceful preaching, which is called as Bala Utpadita. Bala Utpadita means by the power of somebody's preaching. Then faith can come in the Lord. And then such faith then leads one to Sadhu Sangha. Then from Sadhu Sangha, what happens? One comes eventually to Bhajana Kriya, and then one comes to Anartha Nivritti stage. Like that. Now, most of our struggles are at the Anartha Nivritti stage. And Viraj Prabhu, where is he? Is he in the classroom somewhere? Or? He's gone out. Okay. Viraj Prabhu was asking me, you know, that day that most of the time we spend in Anartha Nivritti stage. Yes, that is correct. All of us, most of our time we'll spend in at this stage. Faith we have come somehow by Prabhupada's mercy, you know, we have crossed. Sadhu Sangha we are getting enough in Melbourne. There is no dearth of Sadhu Sangha in Melbourne, right? Then there is Bhajana Kriya, chanting, yes, no problem. That also has begun. Anartha Nivritti. And then the next stage is Nishtha. Now that is where we are struggling. Okay. Getting up in the morning, for example. It dependent on what time we go to bed. It's not that regardless of whether I sleep at 2 o'clock, I'll still get up at 4:30. No, it's not like that. At least for me, it's not like that. I don't know. Maybe for some of you, it's there, Nishtha. But for me, my waking up time is entirely dependent on what time I go to bed. I have to sleep a certain number, otherwise crazy. Next day, I'll be a trouble to my own family. What to speak of pleasure to Krishna. So therefore, so most of us struggle in this Anartha Nivritti stage and coming to the platform of Nishtha. That itself can take a lifetime. Now, in this Anartha Nivritti stage, our faith has developed. Yes, we have gone through the Kanishtha stage. You know, over a period of time, one gradually goes through the Kanishtha stage, then one starts preaching, and Srila Prabhupada says, one who starts preaching, then by preaching process, one can come to the Madhyama platform. Which means what? That when one comes out of one's own problems, and then goes out to deliver the world, to give Krishna consciousness to others, and takes others' problems on one's head and tries to solve them, then a person actually comes to the stage of Madhyama platform like that. And then of course, then the next platform is called as Uddhamadhikari. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, the difference between Kanishtha and Madhyama, one of the differences is that the Kanishtha's faith is little bit damadol, we say in Hindi, shaky, little bit. So sometimes he vacillates, here, there, here, where to go, I don't know. So there are certain examples, and that's why this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is very, very, very important for us, to be fixed and resolute on that path, knowing that exactly I know where I'm going, and I know I'm able to recognize the deviations. One has to be able to recognize the deviations to be able to deal with the deviations. If we are not able to recognize the deviations, how will we be able to deal with the differential? You will say, I am going to California. Okay, both these flights are going. Dono bhi white color ka dikhta hai. Chalo, kisi mein baith jate hain? Kya problem hai? Isme baitho, wo flight mein baitho. Dono California ja raha. Arey bhai, this flight is going to Los Angeles, that is going to San Jose. You are still going to land in different destinations, right? So one has to be able to understand the finer deviations. Not that, oh, both are aeroplanes, so it doesn't matter. Both look same. Let me board anywhere. So externally, something may look as if it's leading you to the same destination, but a finer observation, finer intelligence, buddhi yoga, will make us be more sensitive to the nuances of buddhi. So, some of the deviations typically people have in their life are succumbing to caste, family traditions, right? And that's why he is mentioning Arjuna was all the time lamenting about family traditions. No? We have seen that in second chapter early on. He is saying the family traditions will be lost if the elders are killed, blah 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 blah. So this family traditions actually can be an impediment to our bhakti, especially in India. If you come from India, then it's a big problem. Like the parents will say, oh, ye kiya kya, wo kya, kadwa chauth have you kept? You know? All these things are there. No? These are all some traditions. You know, you have to keep. Otherwise, then they get very upset in the family, right? So, but sometimes what happens? Even if a devotee is chanting, they'll say, chanting sab baad mein karo. Pehla bola na kadwa chauth karna hai. More important, like that. So people don't understand this, right? And then to maintain peace in the family, sometimes some devotees, what they do, Prabhu, I am not chanting 16 rounds. I am just, you know, 2 rounds, 3 rounds, I am trying. Because there is so much pressure, you know, to do other things. So I can't give it up, otherwise they get angry. So that is a deviation from bhakti, you know. Attachment to family, fear of family, right? Fear of being, wanting to be a nice son to the parents, a compliant person in society, like that. So we compromise on our Krishna consciousness, like that. In a kabaddi game, what are you expected to do? You are expected to go on the opposite side and then do kabaddi, 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 and then come back. Here what is happening? You are going there and kabaddi, kabaddi. You are gone on the other side. Okay? You have to be very careful. You have to be expert at this kabaddi game. Go there, do whatever is to please the people. Acha, theek hai, kadwa chautna abhi ho gaya. Abhi chup-chup mere ko baith ke chanting karne ko de. So do that. Okay, you are also happy I have done kadwa chauth. Okay, now let me do chanting. The real kadwa chauth is when? Ekadashi. On that day I will do. Once in 15 days I will fast. So slowly you have to explain all these things. But not to compromise on the Krishna consciousness. You can do other things just to keep the family up. Because harmony is very important in bhakti. So for the sake of harmony we can do certain things from a detached consciousness. But not at the cost of compromising the core bhakti. So this succumbing to family pressures that can come, or misplaced gratitude. Misplaced gratitude. Prabhu, oh, mera dost hai, you know, in college, itna usne mere ko help kiya hai, Prabhu, abhi kya bolu main, you know. That fellow, itna jigri dost hai, usne bola, chalo yaar, baithte hai yaar, ek baar hotel mein baithte hai. And now, yaar, main hotel mein nahi khata ho yaar, only Krishna prasadam only I'm eating. You know? Patram pushpam dhalam toyam, yo me bhaktiya prayachite. Kya baat karta hai yaar, Krishna bhakti karna, but dosti bhul gaya. No, sorry, Aiden Prabhu. This is a conversation in Hindi, but I'll translate for you in English. My close friend in college is telling me that you're telling Patram Pushpam Phalantam, what's wrong with you, mate? You know, have you not forgotten that we were bum chums in college? Right? Why can't we at least once let us go to that Bengal Tiger restaurant here and once let us eat? What's the problem? After that, you know, friendship is also something, isn't it? It doesn't mean that bhakti means you have to sacrifice, compromise friendship. In fact, you have to become a better human being, isn't it? So you have to become more friendly with people. Otherwise, what bhakti your Prabhupada is teaching you? You know, these are the kind of dialogues that they will give you. And then the, you know, misplaced. Or sometimes, we have taken some help from that person before we became devotees. You remember last time we thought, Prabhu, that devotee helped me when I was in Australia, you know, when I was driving taxi, he helped me secure my permanent residency in Australia. So therefore, sometime I have to go out with him, you know, to the restaurants. Otherwise, he'll feel bad. No, so this is another type. Okay? So these are all subtle deviations, obligations, family obligations, friendship, blah blah. Right? And this is exactly the kind of lamentation Arjuna is also doing on the battlefield. How can I kill? He is a person who taught me archery. You know, same mentality here also. So please try to understand this. Then, demigod worship. Okay? In the family they'll tell you, okay, but you do Krishna Bhakti, I am not stopping you. But don't forget to do Lalita Sahasranama. Don't forget to do Durga worship. Do one thing. Do everything. Do all puja like that. So what happens if one god is not happy, the other will take it. It's like a foreign exchange dealer.
Blanket insurance.
This watch, I can't see the time. It's very attractive, but it doesn't show the time. Or sometimes, extreme misery can also lead to deviation from bhakti. Extreme misery can also lead to deviation from bhakti. Sometimes saying, Prabhu, after so many time, you know, I have been trying to get married. You know, I'm not getting a right husband. I'm not getting wife. What is the point? No. So Krishna is not doing anything. So let me worship Sai Baba. Baba will do something for me. Like that. Actually, you are laughing. I'm talking about in this congregation it is happening. We have seen devotees who are actually fixed, who have taken shelter of bona fide spiritual master, and they have left the spiritual master because they didn't get a job in bhakti. And then they went back home and the parents told, worship Sai Baba. Kitni paar bola tha tujhe Sai Baba ko mat chhodna. Acha ma, I'll worship Sai Baba. How many times I told you not to, you know, give up Sai Baba worship. Now you do, see, you are not getting job. Arre, recession is going on. That is why there is no job. Isn't it? It has got nothing to do with anybody, right? And my karma was there that I came to Australia at the recession time. So then there is no job. Right? So, but people cannot see that. Because I am miserable, therefore they start thinking that the process of bhakti is not working. Because there is some kind of an understanding within our minds that bhakti should give me paranormal experiences. Normal experiences are only for outsiders.
Not only that, Prabhuji, they want all the problems to be solved. They link bhakti with karma. That's the problem.
Correct. They link bhakti with karma kanda, like that. So because I'm doing bhakti, I should have no problems. Everything should be first class, like that. And that doesn't happen. And then people start deviating because of this. The faith is shaky. The other kind of deviation is too much comfort in material life. That also can be a cause of deviation. Okay. And it slackens the surrender of a person. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Sribhir E Dhamana Vadakum Na Evar Hati Abhidatum Vai Tom Akinchana Kucha. This is the teachings of Queen Kunti. She is saying that if one has high parentage, nice money, nice wealth, good looks, nice wife, nice husband, nice household, mortgage is manageable, then people tend to gradually reduce their dependence on Krishna. Till some calamity comes and shakes the person up. And then they say, oh my God, despite all this, you know, I know that now I am facing, I came so close to death. So shake up a bit. And to remind them that, look, don't deviate. Don't get comfortable with your possessions in this material world. Like that. So that the comfort itself can be a deviation. Or excessive endeavor in material life. That can also be a cause of deviation. Right? One job, two job, three shifts. Husband working, wife also working, child in crash. Right? Even though nice job is there, still what happens? The desire is to earn more and more and more. Right? Right? In a problematic situation, it is obviously it has to be done. But even in a comfortable situation, when it is done, that we have to understand that is not Vedic culture. At least we have to know the idea. We may not follow that. That's a different thing. But we should know what is Vedic culture. Vedic culture means the wife is at home, taking care of the children, taking care of the house, grihini, and then the husband's duty is to go out and bring income for the family. That is Vedic culture. Practicalism, pragmatism is fine, but that is certainly not Vedic teachings. So, but too much of endeavor can also make you not focus resolutely in bhakti. Because what will say, in the household, then both husband and wife will come, and then the question will be done, who will do the housework? Now, ordinarily, when the wife is a grihini, it's at least, you know, she knows that, yeah, I am at home, so it's my responsibility. But when the wife is earning, the husband will say, "Arey, wo karo." But main bhi to naukri karti hu, tumhara jaisa hai. I am also working like you. And then the husband says, "Ah, haan, barabar." okay. So let's. There is a compromise. There is a compromise in the house because you can't say anything beyond that point. Finish. Argument is over. Right? So there is the Vedically, this is not a very good situation. There is an imbalance in the family because of that. And children are going somewhere. No? Somebody else is taking care of them. And after that, we expect that our child will become Prahlad Maharaj. How is that possible? Not possible. Right? And then we say, oh, bhakti is not working. Kya bolega? Krishna, what is this? I'm chanting. No. Or excessive burnout because of poor time management. That can also be a cause of deviation from bhakti. Burning ourselves out, very early stages, burning our health, everything, and then not being able to do anything after that. That can also be a deviation. or excessive fault finding tendency or an obsession with perfection. Like for example, somebody was telling me, Preeti, were you telling me about David Beckham the other day?
Yeah.
At lunchtime, Preeti Mataji was telling me about David Beckham, the great footballer, isn't it?
Okay.
So he has a compulsive obsessive disorder. So if the watch is like this, so he'll go and place it like this. Have you seen that Mr. Bean ever? He place it like this. Like that. So this is another problem, you know. Expecting too much perfection out of things and also expecting others to be very perfect. Somebody had come to Radha Gopinath temple in Chowpatty once. Gaurang Prabhu, my godbrother, he was explaining in one lecture. He was saying, this person came and said, what kind of IT systems do we have here? Prabhuji, it's taking so much time for the screen to appear, this, that. And Prabhuji, yeah, hang on. People here are not, you know, IT leaders here. People are monks here who are doing the job. Please remember that. Like that. So the devotee had to be told, Shant Rama. Okay. So this is called as expecting too much of perfection and finding faults everywhere. When we start finding faults, then what will happen is we will not have good relationships with people. Because what we have already obsessed with is that I am very perfect and look at these rascals who are not perfect. Don't they understand how to be perfect? Look at me. Like that, okay? So, somebody thinking that he or she is perfect and therefore not able to relate and have good relationships with devotees. And devotees, when they see this person, they'll run away. Oh, this person is coming, huh? Let's stay away from this Prabhu. We'll get into trouble with him, like that. Or this Mataji, like that. Okay. So, such a person will have very few friends. Why? Because he's always fault-finding and not having cordial relationships. Whereas cordial relationships with devotees is extremely important. And for cordial relationships, we have to learn the art of tolerating others' imperfections. And when we can do that, when we know that we are imperfect ourselves, only then. So if we are not able to tolerate, that means, you know, we are thinking that I am perfect. But unfortunately, the bad news is only one perfect person is Achyuta. And that chair is already taken by Krishna. There is nobody else who, no, the chair is not vacant right now. Of the supreme infallible person. So all of us are fallible. So that relationships. Now in relationships, if people do not succeed, that is another reason for them to deviate. Oh, this Hare Krishna, these devotees, you know what? So much politics is there, you know. I don't want to go there at all. Ghar mein baith ke bhajan karte. And when you sit at home, what will happen? Can you do bhajan alone ever? Not possible. 1 or 2 days you will do. But Srila Prabhupada, what is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam? Anukirtanam. Kirtanam is not mentioned. What is mentioned? Anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means the kirtanam has to be done in the way that the acharyas have done the kirtanam. So we have to follow acharyas. And what do the acharyas say? That kirtan must be done together. So we cannot, you know, be a freelance devotee. That I'll stay recluse somewhere and I'll perform my bhajan. Not possible. But if you don't have good relationships with devotees, then we will slowly find that we are moving away and away from the congregation. Because we can't relate to anybody like that. And then we will deviate. Then it's a very easy prey. Somebody else will say, oh, I am coming from Brahma Kumaris or something like that. Oh, come, I'll give you a hug. What is that? What is that hugging, Mataji?
Amma.
Oh, Amma, I gai. Come. Forget that ISKCON devotee. Come, I'll give you a hug. Come. And then we will, a person will say, oh, itna achha laga udhar jake. Bada ananda hai. Kitne meethe baat karte hai. Why? Because here devotees are chastising you. You're rascal, you are not chanting 16 words. 10 years I have been telling you. They don't want to be chastised. You know, they want hug. If you want hug, fine, you be here. Material world will hug you and you can permanently be here. So therefore, we have to really, really understand that we have to have the consciousness such that we are willing to take chastisement and still continue to have a relationship with devotees. Like that. Otherwise, there's a chance of deviating. Vyavasayatmika buddhi eka kurunandana. So we have to go through this turbulence. Not everything is going to be very conducive. As Gaurang Prabhu says, ISKCON is a hospital where the fan may not be working, the bed may be creaking, right? The light may not, bulb may have gone, etc. But in this hospital, the medicine works. That is very important. Medicine pakka. Harinam will work. Okay. Maybe the paint may not be there. Wallpaper may be torn somewhere. But externals are not important. Once we understand this tattva, then we can be focused. The other thing is succumbing to too much adoration, puja and pratishta. This usually happens when one takes on important services for the temple or important services on behalf of the congregation. The moment you take leadership roles, then what is going to happen? Definitely you will get some brickbats, but you will get a lot of adoration also. People will say, hare, senior devotee has come, like that. And then slowly we start thinking that we are senior devotee. as I mentioned, in a few days back, Nityanand Prabhu and myself, we were talking in last year's Jagannath Rath Yatra. He was telling, we have forgotten how to come like normal people to the temple. When you come itself, you expect 10 people should say, Harivol Prabhu, like that. No. Otherwise, you think, oh, something is not normal here, like that. So, one starts getting used. Of course, he is not that kind of a devotee. But he was just saying, in humility, he was saying like that. So, sometimes it can happen. As we become more and more familiar with the congregation, no, as we see more and more people coming new, then we automatically start thinking that we are senior. So that again, that puja and pratishta can also deviate us from the path of humility and take us somewhere else. Slowly, we may tend to become a great well-known devotee, but we will forget that the goal is to become a pure devotee. We will become a popular devotee. We may become an important devotee, but we will not become a pure devotee. Gurujan Prabhu actually said that once. Don't try to become a great devotee. Try to be a good devotee. So we have to really, really remember the instructions of the acharyas. Like that. And then, the other kaya. Yet another reason for a deviation could be lack of patience and scriptural depth. Patience is not there and scriptural depth is not there. So in the face of, and because of this, what happens? Sometimes, because we don't understand, there is a controversy going on. I don't know how many of you know, but in Toronto it happened. You know? We were cultivating one nice boy when I was living in Canada. He was very, very nice boy. So, very simple boy, very obedient, very humble, everything perfect. Perfect, everything perfect. Chanting 16 rounds, right? Almost going to take shelter of one of the spiritual masters in ISKCON. Everything paka. But what happened with him? He's just one thing was not there. He was too attracted to Raganuga Bhakti. Now we all know that there are two platforms of Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti is what? Spontaneous love for Krishna. And Vaidhi Bhakti is based on Vidhi. That's why it's called as Vaidhi Bhakti. It's based on, there is a lot of elements of Pancharatriki Vidhi. Whereas Raganuga Bhakti is entirely Bhagavad Dharma. Vaidhi Bhakti has got both Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavad Dharma. Two tracks, Prabhupada says like that. So this devotee, he was too much getting attraction towards this Raganuga Bhakti. Like that. And what happened? What happened is, somehow he always liked to discuss very intimate pastimes of the Lord. He was not comfortable in discussing Sankhya Yoga. That universe has come out from the Lord's body. Oh, that's all fine. But what I want to discuss is how, you know, Krishna performed Rasalila. What are the most intimate things that happened? Ashta Sattvika Bhava, Ashta Kaliya pastimes of the Lord. He always started thinking that, you know, that is exactly where what I want to do. And this one problem was immediately seen by an outside sampradaya. This is a bogus sampradaya. I don't want to name because I am on camera right now. I don't want to name anyone. But this sampradaya is very well known. This is a sahajiya sampradaya. What is a sahajiya? A sahajiya is somebody who is prematurely trying to imitate a higher position, which he actually doesn't have the qualification. For example, if I am a municipality, you know, cleaner, you know, I come in suit and tie and then I act like a manager in the office. It's like that almost. I am not there, but I am pretending externally that I am there. Like that. So he was immediately, what happened, people came to know, that sampradaya came to know that this devotee is a bit vulnerable. So they said, hey, come on, hamare program mein aaiye na aap bhi. And then they used to go there, and in that program they'll only read the Ashtakaliya pastime. They had a calendar. And you know, I happened to go to the program because I wanted to know where this fellow is going. We actually wanted to save this fellow. So I actually went through the ordeal of going to that program. It was horrible, I can tell you. This, and I tell you, the person who was conducting this program is the disciple of one of the greatest acharyas in ISKCON. He's a disciple of one of the senior most acharyas, who is Prabhupada's disciple. And his disciple, this person was. And this person was the first person to start, you know, home programs in Toronto. Like that. So they left Toronto also, eventually, but they ensured that this fellow is also gone. They told him that, you know, he told me, you also come, he told me. This devotee who I was cultivating, he said, you also come, you will also develop liking. So I went there, I found that he had removed the spiritual master's photograph from the altar, he removed Prabhupada also from the altar, and there was some Babaji over there in that altar. And immediately, when I went inside, this is how the program is starting. Okay, now it is 7:30 in Canada, which means in Vrindavan it must be this time. So Krishna must have gone now to the... No, other fellow is saying, no, he must have finished eating his breakfast. No, he must have gone to the forest. This is the discussion. And I am wondering what is going on. This is the discussion. This is the home program. Can you imagine this? I saw it pratyaksha with my eyes. Like that. And therefore, then I came back completely bewildered from the program. I couldn't understand anything. And I was also not very... at that time, I had not read as much of Prabhupada's books as much as I have read today, though it is very less, but still, at that time, virtually, it was, I was also a little bit shaken up. And then, I also thought that, and then, what he told me? He told me an interesting statement. He said, and because I was a little bit new there, he told me, Prabhuji, don't think by doing book distribution, you can go back to Godhead. Which verse is saying like that? In Bhagavatam, where it is said, book distribution and you will go back to Godhead. And I said, this is a very good point. Very interesting like that. What book distribution on the streets? How will you go back to Godhead? Now, this is where the Shastric depth is very, very important. So, we have to be very, very careful, not only for ourselves, but for the people who we are cultivating also. We have to guard them against all this upper sampara difference. I don't want to get into the details of that, but please understand, premature dalliance with Raganuga Bhakti can be a recipe for failure. And Srila Prabhupada warned us, repeatedly Prabhupada has warned us not to go to the 10th canto prematurely. Even in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes that the so-called Siddha Pranali system, we should guard against. Siddha Pranali means person who is going to tell you, oh, look, Mahesh Prabhu, looks like you are a peacock in Raja. And then tomorrow onward, you'll start walking like a peacock. Actually, it's happening in Vrindavan. People start walking like peacock, like that. But after that, they go and smoke BD. What is the point? Right? So, that premature tendency to go towards Raganava Bhakti, that has to be checked. So these are all, there are so many dangers in the path of Bhakti. So Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana Bahu Shakha Hi Anantascha. Bahu Shakha means what? Many, many branches are there in this freeway. So many exits will come. They will lure you. Please come, motel. Take rest. Like that. But what a devotee does, he keeps driving because he sees the instructions of his spiritual master right in front of himself and he does not take any of the exits. Okay, so please understand this. So we are in text 41, we completed. This is the right time, James. This is the right time? Yeah. Is it 40 or 45?
Between 40.
Between 40.
A lot of verses today. Madhuri, can I take a question later? Maybe next class. Or if we have extra time, I'll come back to you. Okay, we'll read from text 42 to 46. And then we'll see what the gist is. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes, be free from all dualities and free from all anxieties for gain and safety, and thus be established in the self. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind the Vedas. Purpose behind them. So, Lord Krishna is now mentioning the Vedas for the very first time. What is the significance of this? In the earlier section, if you remember, Lord has asked Arjuna to fight for higher destination. Do you remember? A person who fights and dies on the battlefield will get a higher destination. Now what do the Vedas deal with? Higher destination. So this is the connection. So, because Arjuna, the Lord spoke like that, and Lord told him about heavenly planets, now the Lord said, Lord is thinking that I have told this fellow about heavenly planets, so hopefully he doesn't develop too much attraction for going to heavenly planets, so let me bring him back. Like that. Even sometimes in the Bhakti Vriksha programs, we have to do like that. We have to say, in this material world, what is this? in the heavenly planet everyone looks like Aishwarya Rai. Achha, Prabhu, sach mein kya? Yes. Aap program mein to aao, hum aage batate hain. So initially we have to lure people into the program with, as Prabhu was pointing out, you know, Anil Prabhu was pointing out, based on their own likings and like that. And then, of course, you know what happened. So the Lord, having told about the heavenly planet, okay, he is himself trying to condemn the mentality that wants one to go to the heavenly planet. Okay, so that's what the Lord is doing now. So again the Lord is now bringing back Arjuna to Buddhi Yoga. Like that. So in the Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that any living entity is interested in three goals. What are the three goals? That if you take a population, a cross section, take a sample of 100. If you ask their desires, you can put them in three buckets. One is called as bhukti, one is called as mukti, other is called as bhakti. Bhukti, mukti and bhakti. Bhukti means bhog karma. Usko bhukti bolte hain, enjoying the senses. Mukti means liberation from the material world, and bhakti means devotion to the Supreme Lord. So people, and usually when we talk about Vedas talk about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Usually it's attached to that. But in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in 15.15, Lord Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvai aham sarva vedya vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. So the Lord is saying, Are, this Vedas what you are say, reading, aap jo ved pad rahe ho, whatever Vedas you are reading, it is me who has to be known by at the end of this Vedas, and I am the compiler of these Vedas. So please don't forget that. Who gave you the Vedas? I gave you the Vedas, he is saying. And by at the end of all this Vedic study, you must come to me. So Lord Krishna is now reminding Arjuna the purpose of the Vedas. Now, however, what happens is the Karmakandis, what they use, they do is, they use the Vedas as an excuse to avoid the purpose of the Vedas. They use the Vedas as an excuse to avoid the purpose of the Vedas. Because what's happening, unfortunately, though the Vedas actually point to Lord Krishna, the Vedas are very voluminous. And the Vedas go through section after section. First there is Karma Kanda, then there is Jnana Kanda, then there is Upasana Kanda, and so on and so forth. Right? And the Vedas are also known by different names. Actually, there is no difference between the Vedas and the Upanishads. Upanishads are also called as Vedas. They are corollaries. And the Puranas are also corollaries to the Vedas. But some people only concentrate on the Vedas. And therefore, they use the Vedas. They quote the Vedas. Vedas mein it is written that I should do this Karma Kanda so that I can go to the heavenly planets. So therefore, the people misuse the Vedas, forgetting the goal of the Vedas. So therefore, Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna the subtle differences between where the ultimate destination of the Vedas and the subtle differences where Vedas can, the subtle differences where Vedas are talking about bhukti, where Vedas are talking about bhukti, and what is the conclusion of the Vedas, which is bhakti. So Lord Krishna is therefore getting into that discussion with Arjuna right now. And in fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Upanishads is the beginning of transcendental life. Because Vedas, yes, true, Vedas deal with so many matters. But still, only purely reading the Vedas, there is a high probability that one will only become expert in dealing with the three modes of material nature. And using the three modes of material nature for going to the heavenly planets. But it's only when you come to Upanishads, then you are actually looking at transcendental knowledge. Transcendental means beyond the three modes of material nature. So ultimately, a soul has to get lifted beyond the going up and down. And that is the Upanishads. But again, the Upanishads, they may place you on the transcendental platform, but still, there is still a risk that that liberation can become impersonal, or the liberation can go towards Brahmavad. Is it clear? And therefore, you further need the Puranas, especially the Amala Purana, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam immediately is starting with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadasa. It's starting with that verse. It's telling, please try to understand that Lord Krishna is a person. One Satul Krishna Prabhu, Burijan Prabhu was asking us in one of the retreats, what is the essence of all the Bhagavatam? The answer what I got was that Lord Krishna is a person. Person. He's a person. That is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one has to come to that platform. So Arjuna was lamenting basically on all these family traditions. So Lord Krishna wanted to extricate him from that discussion. So here, if you like, Lord Krishna is explaining to him about that scriptural ladder. From Vedas to Upanishads to Puranas, which talk about bhakti. Now, why is this important? Now, quickly draw a diagram so it may help. Is this our usual pen set or?
Where is our usual? Radhakrishna Prabhu, where is the pen set?
We have? Okay, let me see. I hope it is right. It is writing. Now, please understand. You and many of you may already know this, so if it's a repetition, please pardon me. This is the stem of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Okay, I'm not very good at drawing, please pardon me. And this is the lotus flower on which Brahma is sitting. Right? Now, there are 14 planetary systems here. We all know that. The center one is what? It's called as earthly planetary systems. Or?
Bhuloka.
Earthly planetary systems.
There is only one earthly planet or more?
What is that?
There is only one earthly planet or one?
It is not a planet. It's a planetary system. Now, if you take... This is a front view I am showing you. Are you a mechanical engineer?
Yeah.
I will show you the top view.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
The top view... The top view is something like this. There are 12 dvipas. I don't want to get into the details.
Okay.
Jambu dvipa, so and so, you know. Some varshas are there, then some dvipas are there. All that is mentioned in 5th canto. And we can do a separate session on that at some other point in time. During the holiday period or something. If you want a seminar, I can help take you through that. It's all mentioned in the 5th canto. If you still want to do a quick reading of that, see a CD called as Vedic Cosmology in ISKCON. You will get all that details, okay? But earthly planetary systems itself has got so many different realms, right? And we don't even have access. We are here. We don't have even access to this. Our aeroplane cannot even go from one earthly planetary system to another. Srila Prabhupada says man has maximum tried to go to the moon. Tried that too, right? If once we have gone, why again we have not gone? That's a big question. And Prabhupada said at the end of the day they brought rocks from there for millions of dollars like that. Okay, so even the earthly planetary systems is beyond our imagination. Even in these earthly planetary systems, it is mentioned that there are juices, rivers of mango and mango juice lakes are there, which is we can't relate to it, right? We can only relate to the mango juice which comes in the bottle from coals. We can't relate anything beyond that. So now, above these planetary systems are what is called as the
heavenly
planetary systems, and below is called as the
subterranean heavenly.
Very good. I thought somebody will say hellish. Good. This class is very knowledgeable. This is also called as heavenly planetary systems, but the word subterranean is used. Subterranean heavenly planets. Okay, and then below this subterranean heavenly planets is there is a place which is called as hellish planetary systems, which is called as Naraka Loka, of the hellish planetary systems. And somewhere around here, there is a place called as Pitru Loka. The difference between a court and a jail. What is the difference between a court and a jail? A court is a place where judgment is given, and a jail is the destination which comes out of that judgment. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So the Pitru Loka, if you like, where Yamaraj is sitting, that is a court where a decision is taken. And from there, the soul is told, okay, you go here. Is it clear?
Yes.
Like that. Now, what is the difference between this heavenly planet and the subterranean heavenly planets? Where is the opulence more?
Subterranean.
Yeah. Many people think that the opulence is more here. But actually, the opulence is? The material opulence is more in the subterranean heavenly planets. Then, is this not a better place? What do you think?
No piety.
Very good. Again, the class is very advanced. Because here there is... I said this.
Last class.
Last class.
There is no... Okay, all of you are very sincere.
Next time I will not repeat anything. You are joking. Okay. So, there is no piety here. That's the difference. There is high opulence and less piety. Here, there is opulence is also there and piety is also there. So, little bit less opulence is there than this, but piety is also there. And over here, everything is 50-50. Right? This is karma bhumi. This is karma bhumi and this is bhog bhumi. Here we perform our actions and all these are simply places for enjoyment. Here we are just simply exhausting our karma. But actually the karma is being performed in this earthly planetary systems. Please understand this. So therefore, and then here is the hellish planetary systems. So a person who may not have anything to do with God, who may just be a good human being and who just wants to enjoy life, but he is doing it under the framework of the constitution of God, under the laws, but he has got nothing to do with God or whatever. He just wants to enjoy life, but not at the cost of others. He is not raping anyone, he is not murdering anyone, he is not looting anyone, right? But simply very, you know, doing good activities and wants to just enjoy, okay? So, this place is very conducive for such persons who want to work hard and who want to enjoy the fruits. Subterranean and heavenly planets. No piety is required there, right? But a person who uses the path of karma kanda, which means he believes that there is some supreme personality, some piety is there, maybe demigod worship, right? Maybe a little bit of Krishna, but then he really can't do pure devotional life, right? He still wants to enjoy, like Indra. He still wants to enjoy. He likes people wearing chamaras to him in the morning, right? So then, destination is heavenly planets. But still there is some knowledge. Yes, there is a supreme personality of Godhead, he is Krishna, that knowledge is there. Right? But he still can't come out of his mentality. So the heavenly planets. And then for people who neither have any piety nor have any regard for, or who engage in lawlessness and, you know, indiscriminate living, then for such persons the doors of hellish planets are wide open. Where Yamaraj is giving them severe punishment. And if you want to know what is the kind of punishment, you can read the fifth canto. It's very scary. Right? Or if you want an abridged version, you can read Prabhupada's books called as The Laws of Nature. Where you see a guy, you know, trying to chop, right? A guy with a head of a bull or something, you know, trying to chop. So you can read that book of Srila Prabhupada. So Lord is telling Arjuna that, you know, we have to come out of all this piety, impiety, going up and down in these planets. So don't aspire for anything. Directly act on the principle of a karma. Act on the principle of doing things which are pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By that process, you will not get in touch with good karma, neither get in touch with bad karma. Don't do both. Do a karma. Don't do sukarma, don't do vikarma. Do a karma. Now, that is the theme of explanation. If you read Prabhupada's purports, Lord Krishna is goading him towards that. Gradually. And the Lord is saying that Sankirtana Yajna, what is that akarma? He is saying, now if you simply say akarma, Arjuna will not understand. So Prabhupada, and we will not understand. Arjuna may still understand. We will not understand. So Prabhupada is qualifying that akarma is nothing but the Sankirtan movement, which is chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and all the activities that ISKCON teaches us. Book distribution, association with devotees, reading Prabhupada's books, taking prasadam, right? Preaching, all this is part of Sankirtan movement. So Sankirtan movement, Prabhupada writes, fulfills all the purposes of the Vedas at the end of the day. And Prabhupada gives the example also. Just like a small well. And the Prabhupada gives the example of small well versus big reservoir. And Gurujan Prabhu writes in his commentary that in India, we have separate wells. In the olden days, we used to have separate wells. One well is for drinking water. The other well is for washing clothes. The other well is for taking bath. And the other well is for what? Washing clothes, drinking water, what else do we do?
For animals, washing animals.
Not animals, yeah. Okay, anyway, there are four types of wells, he said. But he says a lake which is having pure water, one can serve the purposes of all four. If the water is pure, you can do anything with it. Right? So like that, a person who is in Sankirtana, it is all inclusive. It contains everything else that the Vedas sections, everything, you know, whatever is contained in the Vedas, in any khandas, the essence of all that is anyway therein. So you don't have to do any separate endeavor like that. Srila Prabhupada also writes that the conversation between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati in Chaitanya Charitamrita also was on a very similar line. How Lord Chaitanya convinced Prakashananda Saraswati, because he was a hardcore
Vedantist. So he was convinced by Mahaprabhu like that. So what is the essence of these verses? The essence, there are three important points we need to understand. The essence of all the advice that Lord Krishna is giving is A. In any case, don't get entangled in bhog or sense enjoyment, as well as in aishwarya, material opulence. Number two, be fixed in samadhi. Samadhi means that the mind is steady on Lord Krishna and the Sankirtan movement. Next is, by hearing this narration, Lord Krishna is saying, every living entity, including a devotee, must be able to distinguish. Why is Lord Krishna mentioning this? He wants every devotee to distinguish between essential duties in bhakti from the minor duties that we have. So, in our life, we have to really be able to segregate. What is the essential duty in bhakti and what are the minor secondary duties? If we are not able to actually discriminate properly, then that will be a significant impediment to our surrender. So, we have to remember this. Now, after explaining these different levels of action, of good karma, bad karma, all these things, till text 46, now Lord Krishna is talking about specific activity that Arjuna was doing. Specific action for Arjuna. This is from text 47 to 49. Quickly read that. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruit of action. This is the most popular Bhagavad Gita verse in India. Ask anybody in Delhi. Because of television. Karmane vadhikarasya. The interpretation will be completely different. My office mein jata hoon. Karmane vadhikarasya. I am doing my karma yoga, Prabhu. So, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities and never be attached to not doing your duty. Perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. So the Lord is defining Kripana here. So the points here are, the Lord Krishna is reiterating the superiority of Nishkama Karma Yoga over Karma Sannyas. What is Karma Sannyas? Renouncing activity. That's called as Karma Sannyas. And Nishkama Karma Yoga is performing activities without attachment to the results of the activities. So, there is Karma, Nishkama Karma and Karma Sannyas. Now, the Lord is saying that the superiority of Nishkama Karma, why is it superior? Because it releases one from bondage. At the same time, it allows the soul to indulge in activity. Srila Prabhupada says that the soul can never be inactive. For example, if our office tells us, okay, I'll give you salary for 5 years, but you should sit at home and do nothing, then we may not. If they don't impose that, then definitely I'll be the first person in the queue. But if they say you must sit and do nothing, nothing at all, just sit at home, that's all. Food will come to you. Then obviously nobody is going, because the nature of the soul is to act. Soul cannot live in inactivity. So here, you can act and still be released from the bondage to that results from activity. That is the power of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And there is lesser risk owing to fall down. Because an idle mind is a devil's workshop. If there is no activity, something the soul has to do. So it will engage in lowly activities. So by engaging Nishkama Karma Yoga, since you are busy in activity, you don't have time to think of nonsense like that. Now, the Lord is explaining four or five tenets of Nishkama Karma Yoga, which is very important. One is, never consider yourself as the doer of activities or the cause of an outcome. Don't consider yourself as the doer of the activities or cause of an outcome. Never be attached to an outcome. Neither we think that we are the doers, nor are we attached to the outcome of the activity. And Srila Prabhupada says, if you are too much attached to the activity, then that activity, sometimes you may tend to do capricious actions. He mentions, right, somewhere in the purport, routine actions, capricious actions, etc. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that one will engage in capricious action. What is capricious? Capricious means whimsical. Doing anything without consulting the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Apne hi man mein, whatever you have thought about, you are going on doing like that. That's because you are too attached to a particular outcome. The third tenet is, never be attached to not doing your duty. That is called as inaction. So Srila Prabhupada is writing routine action, capricious action and inaction, like that. And then do your prescribed duty. Which one is this? Routine. Now Prabhupada is again classifying that. Routine action, emergency action and desired action. All these three things have to be performed. I am going a bit fast because I am assuming that all of you have read the purports. If you have not read, it may go above your head. You may not be able to relate to it. Please go home and study before the next class. As we keep going further and further, your home reading is going to become very, 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 very crucial to your being able to understand what's being discussed. Please read and come. So do your prescribed duties, routine, emergency or desire, as mentioned in the scripture, do it as an obligation without getting attached. So there are certain routine activities which we do, like going to work, for example. Then there are certain emergency activities that we do, which we have to do. Suppose we are not well, we have to pop a Panadol. Or if our child is not well, our duty is to take the child to the doctor. So these are emergency activities. And then there are certain desired activities, which are desired of, which are expected actually, in one sense, from because of our ashrama. Like a Brahmana has to engage in patan patan, right? A Kshatriya has to engage in offering protection, doing some administration. So there are certain things which are expected. So these are the activities which one needs to do. And Lord Krishna is also introducing the term yoga here for the first time in these purports. So the yoga term is being introduced and Lord is talking about real yoga. Lord is saying that real yoga or connection with the Lord. What is yoga? Yoga comes from the word yuj. Yuj means to connect with the Lord. Now, Lord is explaining that you can, Prabhupada is writing the purport, you can only connect with the Lord if you know four things. What are the four things? We must know that the Lord is Sarva Karana Karanam. First one, cause of all. Second, we must know that the Lord is the supreme controller. Not me. He is the supreme controller. He decides the results of all activities. And He is actually the doer in that sense. Supreme doer. Cause of all causes. Then supreme controller. Then the Lord is the supreme proprietor, which is the Isavashya principle mentioned in Isopanishad. Isavashyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagatam. Everything animate or inanimate is owned by the Lord, the supreme proprietor. And finally, the Lord is the supreme enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasham. Remember, we studied this. Nyatva mam shantim ruchati. So if Arjuna has to be shantim, he has to have that peace of mind, if he has to attain peace from the pangs of material miseries, then he has to understand that Lord Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. So therefore, all activities that you do, my dear Arjuna, do it for the pleasure of the supreme enjoyer. So that's the direction where Lord Krishna is dragging Arjuna to gradually. To act on that platform. That is called as yoga. And then Lord is saying that one who does not do this, one who acts on the bodily platform, despite receiving a human form of life, despite getting all opulences in this life, if one is not using this human form of life for the pleasure of God, then such a person is called as a miser or a kripana. 50. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad reactions even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all things by going back home to Godhead. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that has to be heard, that is to be heard. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So, the Lord here is mentioning about the various characteristics of Buddhi Yoga. So there are some 8 characteristics that the Lord is mentioning of Buddhi Yoga. If you want, you may note it down. The first characteristic which he mentions in, it's a summary of whatever he is explaining in one sense. So in 2.39, the essential point that Lord Krishna is saying, that Buddhi Yoga is freedom from bondage of work. That is in 2.39. The second characteristic of Buddhi Yoga is, which is mentioned in 2.40, is there is no loss or diminution in this path. Na iha vikrama nashosti. In 2.40 again, the third characteristic is mentioned, which is that it saves one from the greatest danger. This is the third characteristic of Buddhi Yoga. The fourth characteristic is that Buddhi Yoga is one which is characterized by a resolute determination. 2.41. Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Without deviation. Don't take those exits on the freeway of bhakti. Then in 2.50, he talked about freedom from good or bad reactions. After explaining all that, good reaction will take you to that planet, bad reaction will take you to hell. So be free from good and bad reactions. Right? And then 2.51, he talks about freedom from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So that is another characteristic of Buddhi Yoga. In 2.52, he is telling Arjuna to be indifferent to the Vedic rituals. Just now we read, be indifferent to all these Vedic rituals and don't get entangled in the flowery language of the Vedas. And then finally, in 2.53, he further reiterates that realization of relationship with Krishna as that in the mood that we are his eternal servitor, that realization that the Lord is supreme and I am the eternal servitor, when one continuously acts in that mood, then that stage is called as samadhi. So the Lord is defining samadhi. So samadhi is nothing but continuous action in Krishna consciousness. That is called as samadhi without deviation. Evasaitmika buddhi. That is samadhi. When one is continuously able to act on that platform, then such a person is said to have attained samadhi. Now, and such a person goes back to Godhead. So we'll just wait for one more week to talk about that back going back to Godhead, because Lord Krishna's first time, Prabhupada is actually, you know, mentioned that in brackets, right? Somewhere I saw that. Back to Godhead has been added. Where is that? 51. Yeah, by going back to Godhead. If you have seen, Prabhupada has written that in bracket. Now that is because that is going to be explained in verse 72. Finally, towards the end, when you go, in the next section, next week, we will see that. So, from 2.54 till the end of the chapter, which we will do in the next week, which is your homework reading for you, the Lord will talk about Stitha Pragya. He is now going to explain in detail what is Samadhi all about. What is Stitha Pragya? Or remaining focused all the time in Krishna consciousness. And what are the symptoms of such a person who is in Samadhi? What are the symptoms of a self-realized person? One, who is perpetually acting on the platform of Buddhi Yoga. So please read and come for the class. And I know I have gone a bit. I have again run the horse this time. Last time I slowed down. Okay. So before all of you jump at me, if any questions are there, we will certainly address it in the next class. Okay. So we will not move further without me addressing your question. So, Mataji, please remember to ask your question again. Or put it in the car park. So even if you are not there in the next class, then Madhavanand Prabhu will remind me. Then I will address that question. And anyway, if you are not there, you can hear it offline. Sorry about that. Shila Prabhupada.